We're going to look at Luke chapter 8 today. So if you'll please take your Bibles and go to Luke 8. We're going through the Gospel of Luke here on Sunday mornings. And Pastor Larry has asked that I do this passage. It's a great passage. He gives me so many good passages. It's just so wonderful. The parable of the sower, or the seed, or the soil, whatever you want to call it. But Luke chapter 8. Page 864, if you'd like to use that one. Use the Pew Bible under the seat in front of you. Page 864. We're going to read verses 1 through 15 in just a moment. But before we read, there's this interesting issue with all of us, that we can be both present and absent at the same time. And, if you're a student, you experience this when you're in class. And your teacher's up there teaching multiplication facts, or she's teaching you algebra, and you're present, like you've been marked present in class. But when you go home and do your homework, you have no recall of what she taught. I have no idea. I never saw this before. And you did, but you were present, but you were really absent. And this happens, this happens when you're driving sometimes, right? You set out on your journey, and I have no recall of crossing the Georgia state line. I have no idea how I got here. I totally got here and have no idea on what, all the turns that I've made. You were present in the car, but you were somewhere else. Your mind, your heart, you were somewhere, you're absent. And in this passage we're going to look at, Jesus, he's gathering a crowd. I mean, everywhere he goes, there are more and more people that keep gathering to listen to him. And he sees the hearts of the people, and he knows that people are there, but they're not there. He knows that they're listening, but they're not listening. And in fact, Luke tells us at the end of verse 8 that as Jesus was saying these things, he kept calling out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So it sounds like Jesus was interjecting into his sermon, "Are you listening? You're here, but are you listening?" And that's what he calls us to this morning, to hear him in his word. Let's read what he says in Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 1. "Soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, 'A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And as he said these things, he called out, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand.' Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we know that we have the capacity to sit and to hear your voice and to be zoned out. And even this week, we've heard you calling, warning, encouraging, comforting, calling us, and yet we've ignored, we've walked away, and we have that capacity. But this morning, as we hear your word, we ask that in your kindness, you would till our hearts, plant the word deep within, give us the faith we need to open our hearts, to open our ears and receive the good news of your good kingdom. So we need you this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. We're going to focus for the most part on this parable. And so just let me paint the picture again of the parable, and then we'll jump in with a couple questions. But the parable is, here's a farmer, and he's got his satchel on the side of his hip, and he's got seed in it, and he goes to work, the morning's work. And he takes the seed, and he throws it, and as he's walking through the field, there's a pathway, a trail that's just well packed down, that he's supposed to walk on, so he doesn't walk through the soil, the good soil. And while he's walking and throwing out the seed, some of the seed falls on that hard ground. Some of the other seed lands out into some soil that's not very deep, and beneath it is some rock. Some of the soil lands in some soil that's good enough for weeds to grow in, because that's what's growing there, some weeds. And then there's some of the seed lands in some really soft, ready to receive the seed soil. So that's the parable that Jesus tells and explains. So here's what I'd like to do this morning. Just ask, what is the seed and what are the soils? And that's it. What is the seed and what are the soils in this parable, in this story? So what is the seed? Well, look at verse 11 real quickly. Jesus tells us, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So he just lays his cards on the table. Here's what the seed is, the word of God. But back at the beginning of the passage, it says that Jesus was going around all the villages and cities proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. So that's the seed. That's another way of saying the word of God, the good news of the kingdom of God. So I want to talk about that. What is the good news of the kingdom of God? Because that's what the seed is. In the Old Testament, the God's people were in an earthly kingdom. And that kingdom had three offices, three branches. You can think of it like that. There were prophets, there were priests, and there were kings. And those were the three offices that God had set up. The good news of the kingdom of God is that Jesus is the prophet, the priest, and the king. The good news of the kingdom of God is that Christ is all of those. So here's what I'd like to do for just a minute. I love the children's catechism, and our kids go through that. Some of you kids have already memorized the whole thing, and others of you are working on it right now. But the catechism is just a number of questions with answers. I'm going to read for you a couple of those because it asks questions about Christ as the prophet, the priest, and the king. So let me read these to you real quickly. It says, how is Christ your prophet? That's the question. And the answer is, Christ teaches me the will of God. Why do you need Christ as your prophet? Because I'm ignorant by nature. What is the good news of the kingdom of God? It is, first of all, that Jesus Christ is your prophet. And if you feel like, I cannot find truth in this world, I have nothing that I can rest in, everything is shifting, what is real? The good news of the kingdom of God is that Jesus Christ teaches you what is real. He's also the priest. This is the question. How is Christ your priest? Christ died for my sins and continues to pray for me. Why do you need Christ as your priest? Because I'm guilty of breaking God's law. The good news of the kingdom of God this morning is this. If you are riddled with guilt, like you can't even make it to work anymore because guilt is crushing you and your conscience plagues you night and day, how do I get rid of this burden? What do I do? The good news of the kingdom of God is that Christ died for my sins and continues to pray for me. Why do you need him? Because I am guilty, it says. The good news of the kingdom of God today is that Christ is your priest. He's also your king. How is Christ your king? That's the third question. Christ rules over me. He rules over the world and Satan, and he defends me. Why do you need Christ as your king? Because I am weak and helpless. The good news this morning is that if you are terrified of being overcome by Satan and sin, the good news this morning is that Christ is your king and he defends the weak and the helpless. What is the good news of the kingdom of God? Jesus Christ is the prophet, the priest, and the king. The other day, we were, it was Carolina and I were driving, I don't know where Carolina's sitting this morning, there she is. We were driving down Highway 153, and we turned by the Sphinx there on Three Bridges Road. There's a Sphinx right there on the corner. And she goes, a gas station? A car wash? And a store? That's a pretty good get-up, Daddy. That's a pretty good setup, honey. You know, in Christ, a prophet. In him, a priest. In him, a king. That's the kingdom of God. That's a pretty good get-up. That's a great setup. And what Jesus said is, everywhere, the good news of the kingdom of God is that I'm the king. I'm the prophet. I'm your priest. And so I want to push this a little bit more, and just make some applications. Fearful first, second, third, fourth, and fifth grader. He is your prophet, your priest, and your king. Hope in Christ. Lonely teenager. Christ is your prophet, your priest, and your king. Hope in him. Overwhelmed college student, hope in Christ. Overworked and underpaid young adult, he is your prophet, your priest, and your king. Guilt-ridden mother, would you hope in Christ? He is your prophet, your priest, and your king. Angry father, Christ is your prophet, your priest, and your king. Abuse survivor, he is the prophet. He is your priest and king. Terrified minority, hope in Christ. He's your prophet, your priest, and your king. Relapsing but repentant addict, hope in Christ. He is your prophet. He is the priest. He is the king. Recently fired employee, hope in Christ. Chronically ill person, hope in Christ. terminally ill. He is your prophet. He is your priest. He is your king. The good news of the kingdom of God this morning is that Jesus is all that we need. And what Luke tells us here is that Jesus went about all the cities and all of the villages proclaiming that message. Like, he didn't go through the villages and the cities and say, "What do you guys think about this?" He went through the villages and the cities and said, "This is what is true. Not how do you feel, but I am the prophet, I am the priest, and I am the king." Hope in Christ this morning, that is the seed. So what are the soils? What are the soils? Well, look with me at verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed. He's sowing the gospel, sowing the good news of the kingdom of God. And as he sowed, as he's throwing out this message, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Now, Jesus interprets that in verse 12. He says, the ones along the path are those who have heard. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. So Jesus is preaching, and while he's preaching, he knows that there are four responses to the message. There are four ways, he says, to respond to the good news of the kingdom of God. The first one is this pathway, it's rejection. Like, the first way to respond is to say, no, I'm just going to be hard to that message. I'm not going to believe the good news. Now, when I first got to the Upstate about 20 years ago, I met somebody, and I don't know if they were being snarky or if they were being serious, but they said, well, welcome to the Upstate. This is the buckle of the Bible Belt. It's like, okay, thank you for that bit of information. But I tell you that because here's why. Like, most of us and most of the people we know would not say, I reject the good news of the kingdom of God. Most of us don't know people that would say, do not tell me about Jesus. Talk about the weather, anything. But most of us don't know people that will say that. So we can hear this and go, okay, I don't know anybody. Time to check out. But I want to think about this for a minute. What Jesus is saying is, here is somebody who hears the word. And he says, the heart says, not for me. Good for you, not for me. I came across a little poem this week as I was studying. And it's about a guy who spent his days in church. And this is how the poem goes. He says, and I always came to his church before my Sally were dead. And I heard him bumming away like a buzzard clock over my head. And I never knew what he meant. But I thought he had something to say. And I thought he said what he ought to have said. And then I went away. Like, that's the response of the heart that says, man, I am so glad you believe that. That's awesome for you, not for me. It may not be mean. It may not even be, don't talk to me about it. It's just, I don't want it. I'll listen to it. I don't want it. That's the first response, rejection. Here's the second response Jesus says, verse 6. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Look down at verse 13. Now he interprets this. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. So how does he describe this? I would say this is the second response. It's emotional acceptance. He says, receive it with joy. This is great. I love this. This is awesome. I like what you're saying. This makes me happy. I love it. It makes me feel good. He says, but in time of testing, when the emotions wither, so does the acceptance. Like, okay, I'm not feeling good about God anymore, and so I'm done. And if we really want to let this just settle in for us for just a minute, you have to look at an old church directory. What Jesus is saying is that it is true. There are people who will hear the gospel and even think, man, so long as this works, I'm in. This is great. But then in testing, say, man, no, not for me. That's the second response, just an emotional acceptance. Here's a third response, starting in verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And then he interprets it in verse 14. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. So I would call this the choking acceptance, for obvious reasons. He says there's a choking there. They hear, he says, but as they go on their way, the cares of this world choke them out. You can think of it like this. Like, as they go on their way, Jesus says, we have the capacity to fertilize our cares and not to fertilize the gospel we've heard. And I want to park here for just a minute, because this is one of those respectable things, right? Like, it's so respectable to walk into like a Bible study or to walk into a group and just be like, I'm so busy, I can't even think anymore. Here's my calendar, blah, blah, blah. There's so much to do, and we are. Jesus doesn't say that, don't do, you know, just forget about your responsibilities. He doesn't say that. What he says here is that the cares of this world are what I'm fertilizing. Like, that's what I'm putting my heart into. And here's what, can we do this? I don't know if, not right now in here, but when we hear our brothers and sisters saying that, I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to get to the Word. I don't have time to think about the sermon. I don't have time to rest. I have no time for solitude. Like, when we hear people saying that, that is our brother and our sister choking. Like that, that's what they're saying. They may not know that, but that's what Jesus says is happening. My faith is choking. Jesus says that's a third response. I can hear it, but as soon as I go on my way, it's the cares of my life that I put all my time into. So I call that the choking acceptance. The fourth response, verse 8, and some seed fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then he interprets it in verse 15. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. A couple of things about this, a couple of illustrations, and we'll be done. What is the good soil? A couple of things. The first one is, he says that hearing it, they hold it fast. And here's the picture that this word shows up in another place in Luke's gospel, a whole other place. There's these people that have been healed. They've been healed. The demons have been cast out of them. And then Jesus says in Luke 4, I have to go to other places to do my good work there. And it says they grabbed onto his ankles and they said, you can't go. And Jesus said, but I have to go other places. I can't just dwell in this town and in this city. That's the word, hold it fast. What Jesus is saying is that the good soil is the soil that says, I am desperate for the gospel. The good soil is the soil that says, if you take this from me, I will die. My faith can't survive without the gospel. And the other key to this I love about it is he says that hearing the word, they hold it fast in an honest and good heart. And when he says an honest heart, he doesn't mean, oh, this is just a pure heart. Here's what he means. The good soil this morning, the desperate faith response this morning, is the soil, is the person that this morning you think you're one of the other soils. Like, the good soil is the soil that says, I feel my heart growing hard, and I feel like I'm pushing you away. Please soften my heart. Like, the good soil is the soil that says, my trials are killing me, Lord. Remind me of the gospel. The good soil says, the cares of this world, Lord, they're getting at me. Would you weed the soil? Would you weed these weeds out? Would you pull these anxieties away from me? God, I need your good news. The good soil is not the soil that comes in and goes, man, I'm the good soil. The good soil is the soil that comes in and goes, I feel like I'm full of weeds. I feel like there's rocks just right beneath the surface of my heart. I feel like there's these pathways that have been trampled down by the cares and the sins of this world. The good soil is the soil that says, Jesus, I need you. I need the good news. I'll hold fast to the gospel. That's the good soil. So let me just illustrate it like this. Couple illustrations and then we'll be finished. When I was in high school, I had a bad sickness. I had an autoimmune disease, and it was killing me. Literally, it was killing me. And so I had to go through this treatment, and every week, three times a week, I went into the doctor's office, the pediatric office, and I stretched out my arm, and they hooked this machine up to this port in my arm, and they pumped this chemical into my body three times a week. And I would walk in to the office, and like, there's this chair, and I would sit down in the chair and just like stretch my arm out, and there was this bag, and it just dropped. Drip. I just watched it drip. And like, when I went into the office, I was the problem. It wasn't like I could go into the office and somehow fix my own immune system. Like, my own immune system was the problem. And all I could do was receive. That's all I could do. I mean, there was nothing else except to say, I trust this works. The good news of the kingdom of God is that Jesus Christ is the prophet. He is the priest. He is the king. And what he says over and over is, will you hear it? Will you receive it? He that has ears to hear, let him hear. All we can do is receive. Our hearts are the problem. One other illustration, and I'll be finished. This is from a Welsh pastor named Geoffrey Thomas. Oh, so good. So very good. The closing illustrations are like I love closing illustrations. And you probably do too. You think we're wrapping it up. Here we go. This is so good. But I save these illustrations. I've had this illustration since I was in college. So probably over 20 years I've had this illustration. I've never used it, but here it is. If it's not good, I just blew it. It's got to be great now. Here it is. All right. So this is a Welsh pastor, and he's pleading with his people. And this is what he says. Let the gospel break over your heart and your mind again and again as the years go by. And imperceptibly, there will come great changes in your attitude and outlook and conduct. And you will probably be the last to recognize these. Often you will feel very, very small, because increasingly the God of the Bible will become to you wonderfully great. So go on reading, go on listening until you can read and listen no longer, and then you will not need the Scriptures anymore. Because when your eyes close for the last time in death, and when you can no longer hear, you'll never again see and hear the Word of God in Scripture. At that point, you will open your eyes and your ears to the Word of God in the flesh. And that same Jesus of the Bible, whom you've known for so long, will there be standing before you to take you forever to His home. The good news this morning is, man, if we will receive Jesus, I'll receive the message, I will receive the gospel. He says, I will meet you on the other side. Will you receive the gospel this morning? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we need your help. We need your Holy Spirit, even to open up our hearts and to receive the good news. Our hearts are the problem. And so would you please work into us right now the good news. Till up our hearts. We confess our sins and our worries and our cares. And we receive now Christ until the day that we see Him face to face. Amen.